Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
And at that particular millisecond, I just had a thought of the people that would find me.
There's still, right up until the very end, an opportunity to turn around and say, you know what, there's a different way. I don't quite know what that different way is, but it's not this. There's a different way forward.
It taught me a lot about myself, and I wouldn't be the strong mentality monster that I like to call myself today if it wasn't for that.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for checking us out once again. Thank you as well if you are newly viewing the podcast on YouTube. So YouTube now very kindly hosts Mental Health Monday, as well as being obviously the audio feed, which you can get where you get your podcasts. If you are looking through YouTube and typing in mental health, conversations, depressions, suicide, anxiety, and things like that, Mental Health Monday will now appear in YouTube as well. So if you are part of that, welcome. You are very welcome wherever you're listening to, downloading or streaming the podcast. I've got a fantastic guest on the program this week, and there's a lot in this conversation. Now, Chris Ross is a really top guy, and he's been through, as we'll hear, a really difficult time, from things that happened when he was a child to incidents that happened to him when he was an adult. Plus then the things that happened to us all, which of course, things like the pandemic, which affected people in different ways. And Chris's story is part of that one as well. Chris will talk in this podcast about his journey from a mental health point of view. That will later in the podcast include a conversation around a suicide attempt. I'm just going to flag that one now that that conversation is coming. Chris is now in a really, really great space. And the reason that we talk about where we got to from a dark place was actually to highlight the things that he's doing now to keep his life not just on track, but actually in a really positive place that, as he says, gives him a zest for life. And there are many people who might be listening to this thinking, I can't quite imagine myself in that place yet. But actually what Chris is all about is about saying that you deserve the right to put yourself in that place. And if you can't see yourself in that place yet, here are the things that you can do, the small steps that you can take to hopefully put yourself in a better place. And you don't have to have gone to, you know, suicidal thoughts. This can be just when life is getting you down, when things are staying on top of you, where you can't seem just to catch a break, or that you just feel like everything's just worth a good old moan as opposed to something that you can celebrate. And of course, we've all been in places like that. And for some of us, that can take a little bit longer to work through. But there are opportunities. And Chris will talk about the work that he does in this space now, helping other people get through that, using his own experience to tell his story and to hopefully inspire other people to find their own ways of doing it. And it's not about a lesson in learning how to do things. It's about listening in to other people and thinking, that might work for me. Maybe that's something that can make a difference to my life. Chris is a really inspiring guy. I'll get links to him in the podcast notes. I'll make a note. Language-wise, we're okay on this week's podcast. There might be one S word in there, but it's very swiftly moved on from. Just a little heads up on that. It's not an explicit episode by any stretch, but just so you know that does crop up at one point. Notes in the podcast as well. Do check it out. And again, thank you to everyone supporting the podcast, sharing the podcast, and telling everyone that you're listening to Mental Health Monday. Chris's story, and he starts off by talking about things that happened to him when he was young that maybe had an impact on his mental health down the line.
I've struggled with my mental health for a number of years, Mick, to be honest with you. And it's something that, like a lot of people out there, especially men, I kind of just brushed it under the carpet as, you know, stiff upper lip, get on with a job in hand. But secretly, you know, it was like a volcano that was just brewing, ready to explode. And that all came to a head really when my father passed away. He was a recovering alcoholic. He had issues with depression. He had issues with, you know, personality disorder. And a big traumatic event whereby I actually found my father dead. Basically, I found him lying in a heap. I won't go into the graphic detail, but that obviously set off a whole chain of events for me emotionally, physically, mentally. That just sent me on this kind of downward spiral journey with mental health, and it kind of came to a head in 2018, where I was off on a 2-month stint from work due to depression. I was just burnt out. I was just fed up of life. And in October 2018, I made an attempt on my life. And that really kind of started the roller coaster journey of self-development, recovery, whatever it is you want to call it, that brought me here to this day.
That must have been an incredibly difficult thing to have to deal with and process for anyone at any age, but in particular for yourself. Trauma is something which I think we maybe underestimate slightly as having long-lasting impacts. 2018 is a year which sits 2 years before the pandemic as well. And I know the sort of, in terms of like setbacks, your own personal setbacks, sort of 2020 and lockdown then has a knock-on impact. And goodness knows how many people in life finally feel like they've got a plan, they're getting something in place, and then something else comes, the kibosh, something which you could never have predicted. But is it fair to say once again that you know, life threw something at you that, you know, you maybe didn't have the skill set to deal with?
I'm always compare myself to like a cat with 9 lives because something major happened in my life and I bounce back and then I'm on this path and then something happens again and then I'm having to recreate myself. And I was literally in the process of healing. I was in the process of self kind of recovery, if you want to call it that. I had moved from Scotland to Northern Ireland, which is where I am now. I had started a fitness business and I was doing great physically, mentally, emotionally. I was, I was in a great place. But the underlying current of my mental health, I hadn't dealt with. I kind of covered it up with just being busy and getting myself back into work and kind of moving the problem from one geographical area to another. And so when I had my fitness business, it was no surprise that I ended up in the exact same position 8 months later, just before COVID hit, where I had to close down. I had another breakdown and then COVID hit a few months later. And like a lot of people, you know, in that really challenging time, I was questioning, you know, what is my purpose? What the hell am I doing here? And at a time when I actually needed stimulation, I needed people around me. I was isolated. Everybody was isolated. We were locked away. We couldn't integrate with each other. And that for me, even though my experience with my father's death was a traumatic experience, given I had just gone through that and going into COVID, I think that was the most testing time for me because I really tested my resolve on my own because I had to do this on my own. There was nobody else I could go to. You know, we were locked down. So I needed to muster the strength to go, you know what, Chris, you're going to have to do this on your own, fella. And in order to make the changes that you need to make in your life, professionally, personally, you know, mentally, you're going to have to make these changes. But actually, in a weird way, looking back, it taught me a lot about myself, and I wouldn't be the strong mentality monster that I like to call myself today if it wasn't for that experience.
That phrase, mentality monster. I do this thing with my daughter before a football match where we do the superhero pose, where you have to sort of adopt that sort of stance, don't you? That idea. Actually, no, I am. Like, you have to believe and back yourself, as well as having the skill set to also have the belief and the ability to live that out. That's quite a tough thing to learn to become, to believe in, and then to play out in day to day life. What's the day to day life of a mentality monster?
Well, first of all, I can just picture you doing that in my head with a wee cape on in the mornings. That's brilliant. So the day-to-day life, I'm a big believer in routine. Now, routine, you know, is something that has really got me by because I've always believed in discipline as well. So the two go hand in hand. And for me, when you're in that rhythm of a routine, a positive routine, I might add, not negative, and I'll explain the difference in a second. You're conditioning yourself both physically and mentally to get up at a certain time, to do whatever it is that you need to get done on a daily basis, whether it be for work or in your relationship or in your home life, whatever it is. And that, for me, almost gave me a meaning to get up in the morning. So I'd get up at the same time every day. I'll meditate. I'll have a coach hour. I diary everything, you know, not one thing that I need to do, even if it's a 5-minute conversation, everything goes in the diary. So I know exactly what I need to do, when I need to do it. I schedule me time in. I eat 5 times a day. I'm not promoting that people go and binge eat, but I'm very conscious about what I put in my body, because what we put in our bodies fuels this. And people these days, a lot of people like eating crap, fueling themselves with alcohol, drugs, smoking. But this only operates well when we look after this. So that's part of my daily routine. I read every day. I read something that inspires me. I surround myself every day with people that, you know, fuel me with fire, that I want to learn from, where I have a thirst for knowledge. And all of that gives me this zest for life. And that is what keeps me going. And it's taught me a lot about boundary setting. It's taught me a lot about the environment we're in, who we surround ourselves with. That is pretty much what I would deem, that is my routine. And, you know, I do label myself as a mentality monster, but that's not one of these kind of egotistical titles. It's more about, I genuinely do believe in myself. I've gone through a lot of shit. Nothing can break me. And people with that belief, you have a totally different attitude towards life. You have a totally different attitude towards people, towards relationships, towards yourself. You know, you've got to love yourself. You've got to cut yourself a bit of slack, because people are a lot stronger and a lot more capable than they realize. And the mind is incredibly powerful, but if you're not careful, destructive thing. The key is to train it.
Touching on the negative experiences you have in the past, and I think from my own personal experience, that even when you have those sort of new sort of mindset approaches in place and those skills and those tactics, you sometimes spot a shadow that starts to come, and you recognize, you have the ability to recognize that this is a shadow. This is maybe something from the past which has started to loom over you, and you kind of go, oh, here's that feeling again. What are those instant things that you can do now that goes, hang on, I'm spotting something coming in now? Do you have steps that you can take then to sort of banish those shadows, to sort of give you almost like a super shield of resilience in those particular moments? Because they do come, and they come when you're least expecting. You think, goodness me, where's this come from again? What do you do in those moments?
I talk about gratitude a lot, and this is something that I practice daily. And even in your darkest moments, you can be grateful for something. You know, when I was in the pit, as I like to call it, being able to wake up in the morning and having a warm bed, a roof over my head, I would say to myself, you know what, I'm not in a good place right now, but I'm so grateful that I've got a home, that I'm not homeless, that I've got food in the fridge, that, you know, I've got hot running water, I can have a shower, and, you know, I'm grateful that I had the energy to get up and get dressed today. And those might sound like minuscule things to a lot of people, but I'm sure your listeners will agree who's experienced depression. It manifests itself in physical form, and it can be debilitating. So brushing your teeth in the morning, I remember one day brushing my teeth in the morning, and I genuinely felt like I climbed Mount freaking Everest. I was exhausted. But you know what? I was kind of, I'm grateful I did that. I'm grateful I can sit down here. I'm grateful I've got a friend that messaged me asking me if I'm okay. And when you're in those dark moments, you tend to forget about the good in your life because everything's so negative. So I'm kind of going about this a round way, but the whole point being, when you actually start practicing gratitude for the little things, even if in your darkest moments, what it then means is, in the grander scheme of things, over time, you practice that enough, you actually, You don't sweat the small stuff. Your resilience level becomes far more robust than what it would have been to an event perhaps before expressing any gratitude. And what you then learn, and this is getting to your point, Mick, is about you then kind of look back and over your experiences and you identify triggers. So a trigger for me, for example, would be low energy, because I'm normally full of beans. I've got lots of energy, but I can wake up days and go, you know what, I'm not in the zone today. And that for me would be a trigger to say, right, okay, Chris, well, in that case, you limit your work. And I'm in a very fortuitous position. Not a lot of people are, where I can move meetings around. I can do all these things. I set boundaries. So say, for example, I will deliberately not try and overstretch myself every single day. I will give myself a bit of me time. I will get up and I will go, right, you know what? Fresh air. And I need a walk. Even if it's just for 10, 15 minutes, fresh air is a phenomenal medicine. I'm a huge outdoors guy. And you wouldn't believe the power of a 10 or 15 minute walk does for the mind. So I'll go for a walk. I'm actually off alcohol at the moment. But I will know, right, I'm in a low mood right now. And there's meant to be a social gathering this evening or this weekend. Alcohol's not going to do me any favours. So I'm going to stay away from alcohol, or I'm not going to go to the event because I just wouldn't feel comfortable. Things like that are me setting my boundaries when I know, hang on a minute, something's not right. Or I will deliberately contact someone and say, right, okay, can we meet for a coffee? Just to shoot the breeze. So I'm having a coffee with someone so I'm not isolated. I'll train, for example, so it gets me out of the house. All of these things are positive outlets, as I say to clients, positive outlets for when you experience these negative triggers. And that's the point, because a lot of people, and I was guilty of this, they'll get a trigger and they'll turn to alcohol, they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to self-isolation, they'll turn to never leaving the house, for weeks on end. They won't eat, they won't sleep. It's about changing what you put your energy to from a negative outlet to a positive outlet. And don't get me wrong, this hasn't been a easy, straightforward curve. I've messed up more times than I can count along this journey. And you're always learning. And it's taken me years of development and practice. But I'm living proof that, listen, you know, I was just an average Joe Bloggs, you know, experiencing those pits of depression and suicidal thoughts, and, you know, but through kind of rewiring of the brain, as I like to call it, you know, you can literally turn your life around.
Let me pick you up on something here, because I'm a firm believer that sort of we should always push for the route of empathy and compassion rather than sympathy. And I had a brilliant guest on the podcast who said sympathy is the, oh, well, at least, that's what sympathy sounds like. Well, at least, and there's a danger, isn't there, with gratitude, that you go, at least I could get out of bed this morning, or at least I could. If you internalize that, I think that you can teach yourself, or you work with that. But for me, Chris, if that comes from someone else, that's, well, at least you've got your health. At least you've got a family around you. That, for me, can be one of the worst things you can hear, because that's someone who's trying to find an excuse for you not to feel like the way you feel. Do you see that there's a slight difference between those things, that if it comes from you internally and it's something that you use to empower yourself, that can be a real asset. But actually, when it comes from externally, sometimes that can be one of the worst things to have to deal with. It ends up being people telling you that you shouldn't feel like the way you feel because the sun's shining today, or that you've got a family around you who love you. And sometimes you don't want to feel like that. Do you think there is a difference, isn't there, between that external sympathy and actually that internal validation that you're giving yourself from having an attitude like that?
100%. And as you were saying that, Mick, I recall numerous examples, and I'm sure you guys are the same as well, where I've had people say that stuff to me in those dark moments, and I've literally told them to bugger off. I've given them the V. I've said, you know, what a ridiculous thing to say. You have no idea. So that there is absolutely a difference, because the internal element, that is you trying to find the good in a difficult situation to inspire you and to rewire your brain so that it gets you out of that darkness, out of that pit, out of that particular situation, out of bed in the morning to function, to do something, to make a change in your life that's going to get you out of that situation. So that's kind of like the internal driver for you. I didn't need a there. I didn't need a, oh, Chris, everything's okay. Because I'd say, no, it's not. You know it's not. So stop telling me that. The world isn't all fine and dandy at the moment. You know that. What I actually needed at that point, and luckily I had it from my network that I had, but I'm also a very, very driven and disciplined and strict guy. I needed a kick up the ass. I mean, someone that actually kind of got me to get my ass out of bed in the morning. Right, okay, Chris, you're coming out, whether for a walk or for a coffee, whether you like it or not. I'm picking you up in 10. Be dressed, be ready, or I'm dragging you out. I think the whole world has jumped on this bandwagon of it's okay not to be okay. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that, that it's okay to be in that situation because life happens. But what's not okay is to stay there, to stay that way. That's not okay. And a lot of my circle and myself as well, I was in a position where I actually said, Chris, is this what you want from your life? To be paralyzed in bed with depression and, you know, not enjoying life and thinking the world's against you. And actually, I thought, no, I deserve better. This is unacceptable. I'm going to make a change in my life. And I was just like, to hell with this. I'm going to do something about it. And that is when the whole external side came into play as well.
Can I ask you about suicidal ideation? Because I know that that's become part of your journey. And I know that it's one of those difficult conversations that people often don't quite know how to put it into words. And I'd wondered whether or not, now you're a little bit down the road from that, you can look back at that time and maybe express to us what was going on in your mind at that time. What were those thoughts and feelings? As much as anything, just to empower other people to think, oh, that's me, that, or yeah, that's how I felt, or oh, actually, yeah, that echoes with maybe an experience that I had.
Yeah, so at that particular moment, I was, you know, it wasn't just one thing, one trigger, one issue in my life. I had a lot of crap going on. I was in a very toxic relationship. You know, I was off at that period, due to my mental health with work. And I was kind of feeling like I was letting my team down, my company down. I felt lost. I didn't know where my life was going. I was in debt. I had people chasing me for money. I was in poor physical health, and that on top of my poor home environment, isolating myself from the world. Plus, you know, I turned to alcohol on a lot of occasions for escape, like a lot of people do with alcohol and drugs. And I would go out and get absolutely smashed. And alcohol being an accelerant, depressant accelerant, only made you feel worse, and then the hangover comes the next day and you feel crap for a week and you're beating yourself up and it makes the whole situation worse, and then you end up on this kind of roller coaster cycle that never ends. And what happened was I was drinking the night before. I had felt really crap, hungover, still under the influence, and I came home and I was like, you know what? I've just had enough. I can't deal with it anymore. And I didn't have any plans, any intentions. I got into the car, which I shouldn't have done, was one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. Drove for about 40 miles to a lake. God knows how I made it there in one piece. And I sat on a bench And my kind of safe zone, my place of peace has always been by the water. I just love the water. I find it full of serenity, peace, tranquility, you know, good for the soul. You know, they're always happy memories by the water for me. And I went to this one place where I just felt at peace. And I sat on a bench early in the morning and I took my car keys out, my wallet, my ID, laid it neatly on the bench. So, you know, for obviously for anybody coming by or the police or anything like that. And I just thought, wouldn't it be a nice way to go and, you know, peacefully in a place that brings me a lot of serenity. And I just walked out and I tried to drown myself. And basically in that moment, it was so cold. I mean, the water in Scotland was so cold anyway. I could feel my body going and my body almost gave me a warning sign of, Chris, the cold's going to take you before the drowning does. And if you want to get out before you drown, you won't be able to because you'll be hypothermic and you can't move your body. And my body gave me this kind of warning of, this is your final chance. Your body's given up. If you want to get out, now's the time. And at that particular millisecond, I just had a thought of the people that would find me. And I just got out. I kind of got up, walked back to the bench, sat down, soaking, dripping wet, staring out. And I was thinking, what the hell am I doing? You know, I experienced this for myself or my father. And I thought, why would I want a stranger, never mind a loved one, a stranger, to go through that and have them deal with the trauma? And I thought, that's just not right. And on top of that, I then started to think about, come on, Chris, you've got a loving family. You've got a home. You've got a brilliant job that's supporting you through some difficult times. Yes, life's crap right now. But actually, you know, come on, mate. You've a lot to live for. And after a bit of contemplation, I got back into the car, drove back and faced the music and... Yeah, the rest is history, really.
Thanks for being so open and honest about that, Chris. And I think that, again, people will resonate with that moment, that feeling that you're somehow doing the right thing or that you found the right place. And then that moment of realization that actually it's not a one-way street, that there's still right up until the very end an opportunity to turn around and say, you know what, there's a different way. I don't quite know what that different way is, but it's not this. There's a different way forward. Can I ask you now, just in terms of the work that you're doing, you know, as a sort of change maker, talking about mindsets, I think there's a slightly sort of false offer that people sometimes make, this idea that you're going to go around constantly with a big beaming smile on your face and you're like, oh, he's the happiest guy in the world, Mick, oh, he's always smiling. Whereas actually it's exhausting to be happy that much, I think. But there's a level of, and I use the word contentment, there's a level of contentment where you can face the world, see the world and think, I recognize my place in this. I see how I'm invested in this and how the world responds and reacts when it comes to me. For people who are in those darker places who can't see or feel like the world doesn't respond to them in that way, and you've been in that darkest place, what do you say to people who think, well, how can there be a moment where I can wake up in the morning and go, okay, what should we do today? Like that moment of contentment of going, hey, today was a good day. What's happening tomorrow? For a lot of people, it's very difficult to see that. How do you, using your own experience, show people that life is available to them?
Very good question, Mick. Very good question. And it all comes down to faith. And I'm not talking necessarily about religious faith. I mean faith in life, faith in the world, faith in you as a human being, that in that moment, as I said to myself, and as we discussed earlier, I said to myself, Chris, there's more to life than this. There is more to life than this, because when you're in that moment, you've not always been in that moment your entire life. It's come and it's gone, and sometimes it's, You know, it can debilitate you mentally, emotionally, physically, more so than other episodes. But you realize, you know, in those moments I was realizing, you know, life isn't all bad because, you know, even though I'm in this situation, you know, a few years ago I had this positive experience, I had this positive memory. So life isn't all bad. And in that moment, you just have to have faith that going, you know what, I'm a good human being. I'm going through some crap right now, but I deserve more than this. I deserve more than what this is doing to me. And I believe, I have faith that I can get through this, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And unless you can visualize, or unless you can have that faith that there is this paradise, you know, life, you know, through the darkness, as I call it, or there's, you know, there's an end to this horrible suffering and you can live a good, happy, fulfilled life, you're never going to get out of that situation, because you'll be constantly every day waking up thinking, well, what's the point? Why am I doing this if every day's Groundhog Day? Every day I feel like crap. There's nothing to live for. You've got to have a belief that there is something at the end of the tunnel. And in that moment, you might think, I have no idea how the hell I'm going to get there. But you've got to have that belief. And every day, no matter how bad I was feeling, I would wake up and think, it will get better. It will get better. Look at everything you've come through in your life, Chris. You can do this. Get through today. And that's the thing. I call it the Mount Everest of challenges. My father had the same when he was alive, and it's, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. We look at this kind of end, and it's the same with everything in life. We'll look at this end destination as, how the hell am I going to get there when I'm here? You know, that looks like the Mount Everest of challenges. It's one day at a time. It's one day at a time. You take each day as it comes, you know, and you try and, you know, fulfill a challenge or a goal in that day to help you on that path of recovery. It's about starting with the little baby steps, constantly reminding yourself that life is better than this. You just need to take these baby steps to get there. And it might take a month, it might take 6 months. It's taken me years, but I'm living proof. And there are thousands and millions of people that have transformed their lives as well through horrific situations, not just mental health, that have gone on and done the same and done incredible things. And it's just reminding yourself that it's possible. It's not impossible. You know, you just need to, you know, have faith in yourself and in the world and, you know, everything around you, that there is a positive.
Absolutely. Chris, it's been fascinating speaking to you, and so much more we could talk about. What I'll do, I'll point people in the direction of you online. We'll get links to your social media, websites and such like, on the podcast notes as well. I know your LinkedIn profile as well, Chris Ross, Changemaker, where people can find out more information about the work that you're doing there. I'm sure that people will be inspired by the way that you've spoken and the sort of the mindset that you now have. And actually that sense of will, but actually, yeah, things can be different. And I've been there, you've been there, and there's a better place for you to get to. And there are skills you can learn to help you get there as well. So it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you on the podcast. Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for joining us on Mental Health Monday.
No, thanks, Mick. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.